We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports.
At the 50, at the 10, at the 5, still going.
Look at him go.
At the line, bullseye. It's a Buffalo touchdown.
Hello there, my friends. This is your host, Kyrie Demos, and welcome back to another edition of Bullseye, the UB Bulls football podcast. Today, we've got a great guest on, starting quarterback for the Bulls, Kyle Van Treese. How's it going today, Kyle?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad I could check in with you. And, you know, obviously you guys are super busy during the season and, you know, it's a topsy-turvy practice schedule, practicing in the morning and, you know, getting lifts and meetings and things like that in. But glad you guys were able to make a little bit of time, you know, especially with, you know, the Ohio game coming up this week. But, you know, before we get to the Ohio matchup, you know, just wanted to ask you a little bit about last week's game with Kent State. Now, obviously, tough result. You know, for you guys, it seemed like, you know, things really were, it's been streaky, you know, had some stagnant moments in the second half. You guys got real hot and then, you know, things didn't really come together in the fourth quarter there. Just, you know, thoughts on the game overall and just, you know, where you guys are sitting at right now.
Yeah. I mean, again, like you said, it was a tough outcome. But, you know, when you look at the game as a whole, you know, we really played one quarter of collectively really good football as a team. Mm-hmm. You know, the first half, it was kind of, you know, that we couldn't get too much going offensively. Moved the ball decently, but just couldn't finish. And then, you know, they were very explosive, obviously. Third quarter, you know, we came out and absolutely exploded. And, you know, that just shows what we're capable of. But it's the consistency factor right now. And then maintaining that throughout 60 minutes of a football game and finishing, you know, and, you know, like I said, we show what we are capable of. Now it's just putting those pieces together and doing it all the time.
Most definitely. And, you know, for those out there, you know, this was Kyle's, in terms of total yardage on the season, his season high with 286, 237 passing, 49 rushing. But obviously that's secondary to the result. And I know you would have liked those stats to come in a win. But, you know, just thinking about some of the positives, especially on the offensive side, you guys really were able to get the running game going. Obviously, I mentioned your 49 rushing yards, but 312 as a team. You know, seeing Ron Cook get 110 total and Dylan McDuffie, another strong performance. So, you know, for you to be able to have those guys in the backfield, you know, three guys who really have been able to be leaned on all season. And especially, you know, obviously everybody knew about Smoke coming into the season. But, you know, outside of what Kevin Marks has done, you know, Dylan and Ron have stepped up. Just thoughts on what the backfield has contributed to the offense so far.
I mean, yeah, like people call it the three-headed monster, and we've got three backs that can get the job done and that can be a starter at many different programs across the country. You know, they all bring a little bit different stuff to the table, and that just spices the offense up a little bit more. You know, but really credit to the offensive line up front in the pass game and the rush game, really opening holes for them, moving guys, being relentless, you know, throwing their body around because, you know, the games are won in the trenches and, you know, they're doing a really good job right now. We just got to, you know, help them out a little bit on the outside, on the defensive side, special teams. And like I said, put it all together. But having those guys back there in pass pro, running the ball, opening up the pass game, it's super beneficial.
Yep, most definitely. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the offensive line. You know, I know that was something that a lot of people were just – had questions about coming in, you know, just knowing that, you know, a guy like Coyote Awosika had graduated and, you know, thinking about you guys as center transferring and everything like that. So just seeing what those guys have put together, being able to protect you and, like you said, leading the way for the running game, you know, what are your thoughts on what the O-line has been able to do so far?
Everything they have done right now is a testament to the guys in that room and the leaders in that room who have stepped up with, you know, people leaving and really taking a hold of the young guys and got them going. You know, obviously we've got a couple of guys that are getting their first snaps at the beginning of the season. And, you know, they've improved so much already. But, you know, really it's just their mindset and their attitude of, you know, going out every game and, you know, dominating the guy across from them. And that's the kind of mentality you got to have as an offensive lineman. And, you know, this offense really relies on them to be a firm foundation for us.
Most definitely. And, you know, obviously offensively you can't do anything if there's not a great coach leading the way. And, you know, you mentioned it a little bit when we talked at media day, you know, with Coach Montgomery's offense and, you know, how it was an offense that you were really excited about because it was similar to the system that you ran in high school. So, you know, six games in now, you know, what would you say is your favorite aspect of the offense now that you're roughly halfway through the season?
Yeah, I mean, like I said at media day, really enjoy the way he calls the offense. His philosophy going into a game week, into a game plan. It's a lot similar to kind of how I had it in high school. You know, obviously across football concepts and things of that nature are going to be very consistent with each other, but the philosophy of how you call a game is where the difference is happening. Coach Montgomery does a great job of spicing things up, getting the ball to playmakers, you know, making the quarterbacks read, making us run if we need it. But, you know, every play that he calls, we're thinking it's the best play that's being at the moment. And, you know, offensively, that's the mentality you got to have, that every play is going to be the best play. And the best play is also the next play. So, you know, we're still gelling together. You know, six games is definitely a great foundation, but we're still figuring out a little bit of the kinks. And I'm excited to, you know, watch it as it continues to progress forward.
Most definitely. Yeah. You know, we'll definitely all be watching and we wish you luck in that, being able to gel and come together and, you know, right the ship. I know I've talked with you and Coach Mo and some of the guys about it before. You know, obviously it's tough to be where you guys are record wise, but your guys' record, I don't think is indicative of the type of team that you guys have, just because, you know, a few bounces here or there, you know, things could be different on both sides of the ball. You know, and just talking about gelling, you know, I know I've talked with you about him before, but, you know, Keon Williams just continues to shine for this team. And, you know, he's leading the MAC currently with 551 receiving yards. And, you know, obviously you guys have been able to develop a strong rapport. So for you, you know, what was it like to be able to start developing with him over the summer? And, you know, obviously he transferred over from Eastern Michigan. So, you know, what was that process like to be able to get on the same page, be able to start building some chemistry, you know, especially knowing that he was going to be such a valued piece of this offense?
Yeah. When he came in, you know, I heard a little bit about him. I had obviously played against him earlier, but haven't really thought about it too much. You know, looking at some of his stats, and thinking back to the games that we played Eastern Michigan, you know, he's a playmaker. He's done a lot of good things for them. And, you know, getting him to be a part of this program was huge for this offense and huge for this program and huge for this team. You know, not only is he a great athlete and a great playmaker, but he's a great teammate. And that's something that, you know, it's second to none. You know, you got to be you got to be a better teammate, you know, because that's what you're going to get remembered for. How do you, you know, what is the legacy that you leave behind? And, you know, he's a hard worker. He's a great leader. He's a great addition to the receiver room. Guys like Dominic Johnson and Giovanni Ruiz and all the young guys, Pornard Porter, Marlon Johnson, and all those freshmen, you know, they've really welcomed him in. And, you know, it's been a really well-reciprocated feeling. And, you know, that's a testament to the wide receiver room. And they're doing a great job of making plays and getting open and catching balls. But, you know, having a weapon like that on the outside, it's super awesome. And, you know, we've seen some good things come from him, but I still don't think that we've seen his best games yet. And I'm excited to watch that happen.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, he's been phenomenal. I think in of the six games, I think he's had over 85 yards on five occasions. So, you know, the guy just keeps producing. And, you know, I'm sure it's fun to work with a guy like that on the field, but off the field has to make that much easier. Like you said, when someone who's doing the things that he needs to do to be able to handle business. So, you know, just switching gears a little bit, you know, for you, Kyle, to come from Ohio and, you know, growing up in a football state like that, you know, just take us through your experience coming up with the game of football. You know, when did you first start playing and, you know, how did that lead to you ending up here at UB?
Yeah, I mean, my entire life, football has been a part of it. My dad has coached football, you know, for as long as I can remember. And, you know, I would go and be the ball boy on his sidelines at his high school where he was coaching. And, you know, I just like being around those football players, being around those guys, being around the coaches, even from a young age. And then as I, you know, was able to play tackle football, started at second grade, I think, tackle football. And then played all the way through. I played a lot of different positions, played a lot of defense, you know. At one point I was the fastest guy around, but, you know, everybody, you know, matured and grew. And, so I could move around a lot. But, you know, quarterback ended up, I always knew I wanted to be a quarterback on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, that was something that, you know, kind of, helped me form an identity for myself on the football field. And then getting into high school, you know, I had a great head coach, Mark Norrie, great quarterback coach, Martin Poder, who really, you know, put a lot of time and effort into me and my successes in this team and my high school team and our successes. You know, Northeast Ohio is a very highly touted football area, football region. You know, there's a lot of really good football there. And Friday Night Lights, I'll always say this till the day I die, there's nothing like it, especially in Northeast Ohio. You know, you could go to any one game, doesn't matter records or, you know, value or, you know, quality of team, it's going to be some good football. And, you know, my junior year, we had a really good run. We went 13-1, lost in the state semifinals. But you know, I'll never forget this game because that state semifinal game, there was almost 15,000-20,000 people in the stands, which for a high school game, that's a lot. But you know, it was a lot of fun to be a part of that culture, you know, and the amount of love that Northeast Ohio has for football. And then obviously, you know, I played well enough. I put in the work. My mom and dad supported me. My brother and sister supported me so enough where I could have the opportunity to get a scholarship to come to the UB.
No doubt. And, you know, just talking about that, you know, like you mentioned, Ohio is definitely one of the most revered football states in the country. And for you to be as successful as of a player as you were with, is it Stoneman Row?
Stoneman Row.
Yeah, Stoneman Row. So just thinking about your career with you being an all-state player and everything like that. And, you know, what was that experience like, especially like, you know, considering, like you said, you know, the area that you come from, you know, I'm sure there were a numerous other Division I talents that you got to go up against and, you know, just being able to make your way. And also, just going off of that, you know, what were some of the other schools that you were considering?
Yeah, I mean, playing around in around the area in Northeast Ohio, you know, there's going to be a lot of great competition. But, you know, that I was surrounded by a great, you know, a great team, great coaching staff, like I mentioned, a lot of playmakers who were able to, you know, open up the game for me. Coach Poder, he really slowed the game down mentally for me in high school, which I think is what took me above and beyond at the high school level and ultimately got me to where I'm at. But, you know, coming out of really, I think my first offer was summer going into junior year from the University of Cincinnati. Gotcha. And then I had really the majority of the MAC and Marshall were all of my FBS offers. And, you know, recruiting is a wild process. You can't anticipate anything really. You just got to do your due diligence on schools, on programs, on coaches, on situations, and things are going to unfold how they unfold and you have to go with the flows. And, you know, I would say, you know, going into my recruitment, Buffalo was an afterthought. I hadn't really thought about him. You know, I didn't really know about him. But I remember my first visit, me and my dad walked on campus. We walked into the facilities and met the people, and we were very shocked what we saw. And, you know, that hasn't changed, that shocking feeling of the kind of people, the area, the football facility, the amount of love that this city has for football, especially, you know, the Bills. But, you know, everything that happened for a reason, and I'm super blessed to be where I'm at today, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love to hear that. And yeah, you know, I think that's what's, especially for someone like myself who was born and raised here, like that's always something that we try to preach to people, is like, you know, it's a tight-knit community. It's a family feel with the environment here. So, you know, I'm glad that you were able to, you know, become a part of that culture and, you know, take that on and really have, you know, set yourself apart in it. And you know, just talking about you getting to UB, you know, obviously you commit or you enrolled in 2017 and everything. And for you, you know, you got to see, you know, two quarterbacks like Tyree Jackson, obviously record setting guy, and Drew Anderson, you know, from that wild game against Western Michigan a few years back. So, you know, what was it like for you to come in and learn, and especially have two guys like that, you know, as veterans to be able to show you the ropes?
Yeah. I mean, they really taught me a lot. You know, coming in January of 17, kind of getting thrown into the fire, thrown into the team and the culture, right then and there, and getting into spring ball, having to learn things pretty quickly. Didn't get a summer before I had to start the practices where I can just, you know, learn the mental side of it. You know, they really helped me with focusing on the little things and focusing on the things that I can control. And then that fall, obviously, I got the opportunity to play because of injuries. And, you know, I didn't play great, but that moment, that game and a half that I got to get into the game in valuable playing time, it was so eye-opening for me on this, and learning the speed of the game and how, you know, people move. You know, everybody's bigger, everybody's faster, and everybody's stronger. You know, and that really set me up for a lot of success. And then the following year, watching Tyree, and just learning from him, learning his habits, his techniques, things that he did to, you know, be successful. I really just kind of noted all of that and tried to copy that in my own way to make it my own. And you know, my journey at UB has definitely been an odd one. You know, got in the field as punter, and then came back out as a quarterback. And, so, you know, again, all the adversity that I've been through, it's been a fun journey. It's a testament to the people around me because they've supported me all the entire way. My teammates, my family, my coaches. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, obviously, you know, once Tyree decided to enter the draft in 2019, you know, the quarterback competition was open between yourself and Matt Myers. And, you know, I know Matt won the job out of training camp, but eventually you were able to take over. And like you said, you know, for you to still make your way into the field as a punter, but before you, you know, took over the starting gig. So for you, you know, what was that like being able to, you know, say, hey, you know what, I'm just going to try to find a role for myself, whatever it is, whatever way I can get myself onto the field. And also too, you know, just talking about yourself and Matt Myers, you know, the fact that, yes, you guys did have that quarterback competition, and you guys have been the top two quarterbacks on the Bulls roster for the last three seasons now. So, you know, what's the relationship like between you guys?
Yeah, that, you know, that after, you know, they announced him as the starting quarterback, you know, a lot of people would all go right into the portal. You know, they would shut down, they would just, you know, not want to be there. They would, you know, make a whole bunch of excuses, but you know, my mindset, and this is the way that I've been raised by my mom and dad, was just control what you can control. And don't leave any doubts, and do what you have to do, to help the team. And that was my mindset, is I'm going to do whatever I can to get on the field to, you know, help this team be successful. And at that moment in time, it was punting. And you know, I had some experience in high school doing that, but you know, I was more than happy to get out there and do what I could to help the team. And then, yeah, like you said, you know, me and Matt have been here for a while now together, and you know, we both got to sit behind Tyree that 10-4 year. And then we've been through a lot together. And I mean, that's a brother for life. I mean, you know, we've been through a lot. We spend so much time together in the facility. We hang out of the facility. You know, we got a lot of similarities, but he's a great guy, great family. We get along real well, and I'm real thankful for our friendship.
That's amazing. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I just feel like from the outside looking in, people always think, oh, those two guys, they're in a competition, they're in a battle, whatever. And, you know, more times than not, you guys, like you said, haven't spent that much time together. You know, you guys do develop a strong bond. And yes, it is competition, but at the end of the day, like, you guys are teammates, you guys are brothers for life. And, you know, I'm glad that you guys have taken that approach because, like you said, I know some guys that, you know, would get a little PO'd and would want to transfer, you know, if one was in more of a reserve role than the other. So, you know, I'm glad you guys have taken that approach.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the competition level, I think that level of competition is based on the friendship that we have and the culture that we have in this program. You know, competition breeds competition. You know, the more you compete, the more that other people are going to want to get involved. And, you know, that's only strengthened our friendship and our relationship. And because we're always trying to, you know, compete with each other, we're always trying to do better than each other. But again, that's the nature of the business. That's the nature of the game. And, that's why it's so much fun because you can compete with your friends on the field and then go back in the locker room and, you know, crack jokes and have fun with them.
For sure. Yeah. Competition breeds success. You know, it's all a part of the game. Just, you know, talking about you taking over that starting gig at the quarterback position now, you know, in 2019, you guys were able to break through, you know, and lead the program to its first bowl win. You know, just thoughts on being able to do that and then leading into, you know, some of the success of the 2020 campaign.
Yeah, I mean, we had a collective group of really hardworking individuals that came together for a cause that hadn't been done here. And that was, win a bowl game. And the guys that we had on this team in 2019 to get that done, you know, that'll go down in history here at UB. And I was super blessed to be a part of that. And, we found a way to get the job done. And, you know, everything that happened, everything that transpired that season put us where we were. Like I said, we just focused on the things that you can control. You can control the controllable. And that's what we did. And, you know, I love those guys. And, you know, that's something that we've been trying to replicate every year since. And we did last year, and now we have to do it this year.
I'm sorry for the technical difficulties, folks. But, yeah, just was, you know, talking a little bit about the 2020 season. Things looked murky early on due to the the coronavirus and just the pandemic. You know, really, I mean, obviously college football changed, the world changed, you know, once it struck. But, you know, for you, what was the process like? You know, you go from, you know, going through spring ball to, okay, we're going home for a little bit to, wow, okay, we're probably not going to be back on campus for a while to, all right, we might not even have a season to, okay, we're, you know, doing all these things and we end up playing in the MAC championship game and, you know, winning another bowl game. So just, you know, what was 2020 like for you and, you know, how you were able to help navigate the team through that process?
I mean, it was hectic and, you know, spring ball was, we got through 9 practices and then, you know, they cut it, and they sent everybody home, you know, right after spring break. So that was strange. We didn't know exactly what was going on. Mm-hmm. Nobody really did. And you know, our coaches gave us a plan to do for workouts at home. You know, they made sure we were, you know, staying in the playbook. We had meetings on Zoom, made sure we were staying on top of our classes. And then, you know, we really anticipated, as things started calming down just a little bit after the first, you know, week or two of, you know, the mania, you know, there was a little bit of a schedule, a little bit of a grasp of what might happen. And they gave us a couple of examples of what could happen and we had to be prepared for all of them. We ended up coming back, on campus. It was mid to late, June. For summer workouts. And that was strange because our summer workouts, we got split up into groups of 8, okay. You know, on a team of 100, that's it's kind of small,
right?
When you're used to living with, 30 guys. But you know, we had to do what we had to do. We had to wear masks. We had to do all these different, protocols, for COVID. And then getting into the season. Yeah. I mean, we didn't know what the heck was going on. We didn't know if we were going to have a season or not. And then we were obviously the first one that canceled the season. And that was hard because, you put in all this work in the off season preparing for a season, and then they tell you that they're taking it all away. And, you watch other conferences, do the same thing. And then you watch conferences not do it. Mm-hmm. And that was hard. But throughout the entire process, we, as a team, we had to just, keep the communication with everybody going, remind everybody that, we're still here for a reason. Remind everybody that, we're still a part of a team, and, we got to maintain this culture and this brotherhood, mm-hmm. no matter where we are in the country, because, once they let us come back, it's time to go. There's no time to waste. And, when they announced that we were going to have a season, that's exactly what the mindset was. We got a little like a month of school and just lifting before mm-hmm. the season. And then we got into fall camp and then the season. And, we were testing, COVID a lot throughout the season. So that made the schedule a little bit difficult. The season was different. You only played MAC schools. Mm-hmm. We started off really well, and we got to the MAC championship, couldn't get it done, went to a bowl game, got it done. Finished the year well on a win. Obviously that game hurts a lot. I know that's the second game that I've been to in that stadium and haven't come out on top. Mm-hmm. A lot of whirlwind of emotions, whirlwind of, thought processes, but it's put us where we are.
Yeah, most definitely. And, for you guys to be able to get your first AP, ranking, finishing in the top 25 as well. So it was a tremendous season, and for it to be something that was looking like it was going to be taken away is crazy too. So, hats off to you guys for being able to put that together. And, a major, major factor in that was obviously you handing the ball off to number 26 last season. And for you to have a front row seat to, an all-American running back and, seeing some of the things Jared Patterson put together, obviously the 409-yard game and 8 touchdowns, and but just, the tremendous career that he put together, to be able to cap it off the way he did. What was that like for you to be able to have someone so dominant like that behind you?
It was really cool. When he came in, I had been here for a year, and mm-hmm. he came in and got right to work in spring ball, and everyone kind of just saw what he was doing and saw what he was capable of. And we all knew at some point that he was going to, explode. And that year he kind of stepped into a role throughout the season, and he started getting more carries and ended up having 1,000 yards, without really even playing the first couple games and meaningful time. Mm-hmm. It was really special to be able to see that Jared Patterson really unfold as a player and as a leader and a person. But at the same time, I wasn't shocked by it because of the amount of work he puts in. Mm-hmm. And, as you follow his career, especially into where he's at now with Washington football team, it's the same story. Everybody sees the work he's putting in. Nobody's really shocked if you're really there every day watching him put in the work. I'm so happy for the opportunities he's gotten. And I'm excited to see how he can, make things shake in the league.
Yeah, for sure. It's crazy to think just one of the craziest things in the preseason was like all the buzz that he was getting and, this is a guy that you guys should be keeping an eye out for. But it's like, man, if you guys only knew, we've seen this for years at this point. He's definitely, obviously he brings it to the table on the field, but what he does every day off the field, I think just puts him in that position. So, we definitely wish him luck. Just switching gears a little bit, you've been able to see two different eras now with UB. You obviously came in the Lance Leipold era, but you also now have been helping usher in the Molinguist era. Just, thoughts on, what it was like being able to play with Coach Leipold and, now being able to play for Coach Mo.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm super thankful for everything that Coach Leipold and his staff did for me. You know, they're the ones that signed that piece of paper up front for me. And, you know, they developed me for the last 3.5, 4 years. And they've made me the quarterback that I am. But, you know, college football is a ever-changing landscape. And, you know, people are going to take opportunities when it's better for their families. And that's understandable. It's a business. You know, so super thankful and grateful for everything that they did for me. But also super thankful and grateful for the opportunities that are presented with Coach Mo and his staff. You know, obviously the timing of everything that happened wasn't ideal, but it also, you know, it brings up a lot of adversity, and adversity is what, you know, brings people together, in a team setting. And, you know, that's exactly what's happened. This team has come together, the coaching staff and the team has come together so much in the last 5-ish months. And, you know, I really am so happy to be a part of this team and this culture and this organization, and to be able to be coached by a guy like Coach Mo. It's really, truly a blessing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I tell people that all the time. Like, the fact that he had such a short or such a quick turnaround, and for him to get you guys ready to go in such a quick fashion is crazy. But, you know, like you said, it's a part of the nature of the business. And, you know, to be able to be successful, you've got to be able to push through some adversity. So, you know, I definitely have enjoyed being able to see him come back, especially, you know, when I was at UB, he was our DB's coach. So it's cool to be able to see him coming back and, you know, really just reinserting his roots into this program. So before I let you go, just wanted to ask you some quick hitter questions. First of all, who would you say is your favorite all-time UB teammate?
Favorite all-time UB teammate?
Mm-hmm.
That is a tough question because I got a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
I'd probably say I can't give one answer. It's got to be Jake Molnich, Kyle Yawashika, Dom Johnson, Taylor Riggins, and, you know, Keith Wetzel. Now that he's come in, he's really grown, and our relationship has grown a lot. But those first couple guys are the guys that I really, you know, grew friendships with coming in. Mm-hmm. And those are the guys that I'm going to have lifelong friendships with. So
for sure. For you as a quarterback, what is your favorite route to throw?
Everybody says the go ball.
Of course.
But I would say those intermediate balls, the ones that require a lot of accuracy, a lot of velocity, those ones are my favorites.
For sure. Definitely got to, you know, make sure you're looking defenders off and manipulating the defense to be able to get those passes off. For you, who or what is your go-to pregame song or artist? You know, one or the other works for this answer.
You know, I don't really have too much of a pregame ritual in terms of music, especially.
Okay.
You know, I just kind of go with the flow. I get in my own little zone of just being relaxed, because when I'm relaxed and having fun, that's when I'm at my best.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually going to ask about that, too, because I know there's, you know, some guys have certain superstitions and game day rituals, like, oh, no, I need to put my socks on before I put on my, you know what I mean? Like, so is there a specific, if there's not a game day superstition, is there like a game day tradition that you try to stick to or try to, you know, keep going each week?
Not really. I mean, besides really kind of like what I wear, there's nothing really that remains the same each week. I would say in high school, the night before every game, me and my offensive coordinator would go and get wings the night before every time. That was probably the only ritual I've really had.
Okay. So gotcha. Alrighty. What is your favorite part about UB?
The people, I would say. Everyone's got such a nice outlook on really everything, you know. It's a really safe area. You know, you feel at home whether you are here, you live here or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's looking out for you. You feel like you could just leave your door unlocked and nothing would happen. And you know, everybody loves their football. So
most definitely. And before I let you go, you know, just getting back to more of the football side of things, you know, just looking ahead to the Ohio game, you know, just thoughts on the matchup and, you know, what do you think you guys need to do to be able to get back on track?
Yeah, I mean, really excited for the opportunity this week. Playing OU, that was the game that I first started 2 years ago against, and we lost by 1 point in overtime. So there's a little bit of a chip on my shoulder for this team, and I'm excited for this opportunity to get back out there and play them, because we didn't get the chance to play them last year due to COVID. But you know, they present, you know, a great challenge for us offensively, defensively, special teams. They do have a new head coach, but it's a coach that's been in the program and the culture for a super long time.
Gotcha.
And they know how to win. And this is the MAC. This is a very competitive conference, and on any given day, anything can happen. And any team can play as well as they can or as bad as they can. So we have to make sure that we prepare all the way up until that first ball is kicked. Mm-hmm. And go out there and dominate the guys across from us and win our one-on-one battles. And, you know, worry about where our feet are, worry about the rep that we're in, and then moving on to the next one. And at the end of the day, the numbers and the stats and the scoreboard, they'll take care of themselves.
Absolutely. Nothing like a little bit of a revenge game either too. So definitely love to hear that. So Kyle, I definitely wanted to thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck with everything. You know, it's been great to see you putting together the career you have. And, you know, I just hope you're able to continue pushing on and, you know, being able to right the ship before the season closes out. So thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Had a lot of fun.
Absolutely. This is Kyrie Demos. And just to let you guys know, this episode was presented to you by Bet Online. I'm signing off, and we'll definitely be checking in with you all very soon. Stay tuned and horns up, y'all.